Thank you. morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask first if we have any announcements. I know we have a visitor, so maybe I should just start. That'd probably be the best way. And God has just stirred my spirit, and this wasn't really planned, but I met a gentleman from Austria yesterday. Ollie, if you don't mind me, well, yeah, he's a visitor today. Yeah. And he said something to me that Yaroslav said when I first met him. That Yaroslav's dream was to be here. Not to do anything in particular. Not to be famous, but just to stand on this soil. To be here. And so on the way to church this morning, Ollie was noticing things that I thought, I don't notice that anymore. You know? We take so much for granted. This is not just a great place to live. It's a God-blessed place to live. And thank God for immigrants who remind me and others that this is not just some old place stuck out on the Western Hemisphere. You know, this is a truly uniquely crafted place where God can be worshipped. The God can be worshipped freely. So, anyway, that's... just thought it would be proper to say that right now. So I should let the official announcements begin.
We have another first-time guest, Gil and Jeff. Lanning, pretty close. And that's Lisa Ruthie's brother and sister-in-law. Well, I believe that's only the first-time guest that I have observed this morning. And I'm from the Gil's, and Dean Crawford is from the Gil's. So we won't say how long we've been with us. I was a young man too. And I also we put out a little announcement a couple of months ago about updating our birthdays and anniversary dates. And between the two of us, we left Jeff Marie off. Jeff Marie Murphy was 1 year old yesterday. So happy birthday to Jeff.
So, the Lamas, Joyce and CB, they've been coming to the 8 o'clock service, and they transferred their membership to this church this morning at the 8 o'clock hour. B-L-O-H-M, Joyce and CB. And nice couple, and I told it in the service when they came, even one Wednesday night, they helped wash dishes. So they've already been initiated real well, and they'll help wash dishes. We'll take some more. They found us. They just drove by and found us one day. And we welcomed them this morning. So when you see them, give them an official welcome. Also, Carol was coming to church this morning, and a deer hit her. Hit on the side of the car, so she got kind of nervous and went back home, and Liz is taking care of her. So, pray for her over that nervousness, and we'll be okay. Columbia Presbytery meets this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Pleasant Mount Church near Columbia. I'll be going, and David England will be going to represent the church. One more thing. Tonight, everything has changed except the youth meeting. The youth will meet here at 5:30. They have an outing to go help at a halfway house or a shelter type thing. The rest of the church is invited to the Strasser Farm, and it's 9557. Is that right? 9557 Mullins Road. Bring your hot dogs, your buns, chips if you want them, your drinks. Bring a chair and the fire and cups and plates, etc. will be there. Is that right, Karen? A fire, cups, plates, etc. And I think they are ready for us, or will be at 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock. Somehow, in the hustle bustle this week, we did get the announcements changed. And I think that's everything.
All right.
7 and 8, I'll be going back up to Faith to help the ladies out shortly before they put on the Bible site. So anybody that would like to go, I'll be going on the 7th. I think Pam and some of you can come up on Saturday morning. That's still in the planning stages. I know that Bill Rowland and Larry Martin and myself will probably go up on Thursday and Friday and get started on Saturday and all day. We hope we can get that done. We got a lot of it done 2 weeks ago. We hope to get it all done. So we'll be set up on that.
Any more announcements? All right, prayer requests or praises.
Brother MacArthur had bypass surgery right into the ball trunk of the world. My surgery this week, I'm not sure what day.
But you know, something I think sometimes we hesitate to say praise. You know, usually somebody's sick, somebody's sick, somebody's sick. But I think it's very important that if you have a praise, don't be bashful and say it out loud, because that brings glory to God, which is really kind of the point. So,
I have a first cousin, Tom Harvey, Tom said
prayer and just get prepared for worshiping our wonderful Lord. Good stand for the come Christians, join us sing number 108.
Come Christians, join us sing. Alleluia, amen. Come Christians, join us sing. Alleluia. We can't be free. I said we must not carry
of our lives. And Lord, let us be channels through which that river flows all out to the world. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have as your people, for the eternity that is before us. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon this hour. May we honor you and glorify you. We pray that you would so live among us and move among us, that we would know your presence without doubt, and that we could become more committed to you. Thank you for your promise to be with us and to inspire us and to motivate us and to teach us and to move us for service with you. Thank you for the church. We can be a part of it. That you called us from death to life, from sin to salvation. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying now as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
This is one of the things I love about this body of believers, is that, you know, a call to confession. Believe it or not, there's... Oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. I still love it, I'll tell you in a minute. First, we'll read the Apostles' Creed in unison. It's on in 716 in your hymnal, and it's also on the screen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge us the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Some churches who kind of are about, you know, what's in it for me and how can you live your dreams and that kind of stuff, and they forget that we're sinners. And I love that about this place, that, you know, Jenkins still remembers that it is all about Jesus and we need him. And sinners, we need him. So here's a call to confession from 1 Samuel 15:24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That's 2 Samuel 12:13. And we have sinned. And if you would say this with me, please, the prayer of confession from Matthew 22. Eternal God, you have commanded us to love you with all our being. We confess that we are not at that point yet. Forgive us. Your patient love is like a mighty glacier, slowly pushing aside all that stands before it. Be patient with us as we grow in our love for you, and as we learn to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Nurture us in your healing love, that we may be known as a people whose love for you and others know no bounds. and whose fear holds no sway, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness. This is the good news after we have sinned. From Psalm 99. Moses and Aaron were among God's priests. Samuel was among those who called on the Lord, and you answered them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God. If you could turn to 357. Jesus loves even me.
And if you're glad that Jesus loves you, let's do some smiles today.
Ushers, come forward, please. Operatory sentence from Luke 12:15. Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted, for being worship leader today. We called Ted from the office on Friday and asked him if he would do this, and so his first time, and he did well. Thank you, Ted. Do a song that's a little unusual for me to do this morning. You might think it's a contemporary song. It's not. I wrote it about 20 years ago, but the music's a little bit contemporary. I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy it. Please pay attention to the words. So many years I turned my back and gave him the run around. Every time he filled my cup, I turned it upside down. But now my life is full of him, and I praise him with every sound. 'Cause I took a drink from the river that flows through holy ground. Let me drink from the river till his love has made me whole. Fill my dry and empty heart till it overflows. Feed me from the tree of life to help my faith to grow. Let me drink from the river till his love has made me whole. Filling myself with the good things from the book of life. I'm walking in his footprints and guided by his light. I know my faith is growing stronger every day, and every step is easier because I let him lead the way. When you finally make your mind up to face up to your sin, don't matter where you're standing, just shout and jump right in. God's love is a river, it's wide and it's deep. It flows from the purest place and ends at Jesus' feet. Let me drink from the river till His love has made me whole. Fill my dry and empty heart till it overflows. Feed me from the tree of life to help my faith to grow. Let me drink from the river till His love has made me whole. Till His love has made me whole. Till His love has made me whole.
I'm Miss Mary Jo. You've seen me at Fair Lady Worship sometimes. See you sitting over there. I'm Jeff's grandmother. I have a question to ask. How many of you know what the word sensory means? Anyone? Does anyone know what the word sensory means? Well, sensory, a sensory is 100 years. Yesterday afternoon, we went over to Jeff's house to celebrate her birthday. And Jeff just happens to live on my family farm, which is a sensory farm. It's been in my family for over 100 years. And that's a long time. That's right, Jeff. And after the party, Jeff's papa and I and her uncle Rhett and I walked out on the farm down to the big pecan tree. And this used to be a working farm. Doesn't grow much anymore. Grows pecans, we found out yesterday. So we're going to talk about farming a little bit this morning. Miss Andrea talks about her animals. I don't have any animals, so we're going to talk about farming. We still have some farmers around, and we really need those farmers. Because farmers plant, grow, and produce. And we have to have all that, just like when we're Christian, when we come to church, we're planted, we have to grow in Christ so that we can produce Christ-like man. Well, in our walk yesterday afternoon, we walked to the pecan tree, which is very large. I'm not quite sure quite how tall that tree is, but I can't get to the top, put it that way. My father planted this tree when he was 7 years old. Anybody get 7 years old? A little older, a little younger, I'm 7. Well, anyway, my dad planted this tree when he was 7 years old. And some years it has pecans, some it doesn't. And we're not real sure why. We talked about that yesterday. But as we looked around and walked around this big tree, it's covered. It's loaded. I've never seen any pecans in my life on the tree. So Amy and I have big plans. We're the ones pecan hunting. And I bet Gracie will want to go with us. I want to share with you what God has produced this year. Has anybody ever seen a real pecan? I've got one for you. You want one? Smell it. I want you to smell it. tell good husbands, good man. Now, the secret of the pecan is to lay them out in the fall sun, and they'll turn brown. Just take a hole on it. And then you have to take the hole off. It's covered. It's protected. Like God protects us. Because when we take the hull off, when we take the hull off, then we have a shell. And the pecan shell is not real thick, so it's easy to crack. But inside is a very special fruit. The pecan meat. And that's what we like to eat and make pies. Hey, and I have big plans for pecan pies out of it. But I want you to look at this. Is anyone allergic to nuts? I know at my school there's some children that are allergic to nuts. I don't want anybody in trouble. But I want you to take one of these pecan meats. This is what it looks like after we get it out of that. That's what's inside the pecan right there. And this is what I want you to think about, because after you go through that outer shell, we get to the meat of it. And we call it a pecan meat. And that's like we have Jesus in our heart. He's there surrounding us, loving us, taking care of us. So think about that pecan meat, how you see it at the store. And now you know what it looks like in its original form. And one neat thing I saw, pecans grow in clusters. There's either three or four growing together in a little cluster. Okay, one pecan. And these are perfect halves. I don't know how they do it. They just have a special thing to hold pecans with. Because when I crack them, all good, good. We have just to eat. Okay, boys and girls. We got a song to sing, Miss Miller.
My
daughter,
my third grade class, we studied plants and trees and how to do it. My daughter was so happy the other day. She was so happy. I can't do it on the planet, but we are first together. It's such a big scary thing. I'm glad, even though I can't reach God and the Lord, that they're realizing.
God, bless the boys and girls with me today, and bless all the boys and girls everywhere. Wrap them in your loving arms and watch over them and guide them, because inside are wonderful, wonderful things. In Thy name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. You can follow along in your bulletin or get a pew Bible or open your own Bible.
hear the word of God. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm sure that some of you have been watching baseball. Have any baseball fans? One, at least, two, three, four?
Yeah.
What's going on? Who's won? How many? And how many of them have to win? Got to win four to win. Okay, four out of seven? Is that right? What's they do to win a score? What's the thing they have to do to win a score? Make it the home base. I want to talk this morning about home base for Christians. You know where home base for Christians is? Let's talk about it. Game of chase, though. The children have gone, and they might could help me. Playing chase. I kind of remembered and had to ask and get some help because I had kind of forgotten about the game of chase. Home base. If you're on home base, you're safe. Is that right? And if you get off of home base, it can make you it if they touch you. Is that kind of right? Something like that? Did I get it halfway right? So, you got it. If you stay on home base, you're going to be doing okay. War. Visiting with Pete Mosley most every week, and I ask him about war. And he is not the only one in our congregation who's been off to war, but it shows up on him that he's been there more than anybody else in this congregation, I guess, anybody else in this community. Ask him about home base, and soldiers understand how a home base. They will have a home base, and they will go out from this home base, warriors. They'll go out from the home base, and then they have to come back to home base for numerous reasons, I guess for restoration, if you will, to regroup, to prepare to go out again. And home base for Christians is somewhat like that. And then Pete called me and we had talked about this one day. I said, "Soldiers have a home base." He said, "Yes, they do." He said, "The only time he ever saw it, dude, when he went through it on the way out, came through it on the way back. He didn't stay out there long." He, if you don't know, Pete lost an arm and part of his skull, etc., etc. But he called me later and he said, "Mountain climbers." He said, "Even mountain climbers have a home base that they come back to and regroup and go out from." And we didn't go into detail. I've never climbed many mountains, but that's one thing. A lot of people have home base. And there's home base for Christians. Home base for Christians. That we often need to, even must, return to. And that's really what I want to think about this morning and have you to think about. We go out and do our thing in the world. Yeah, I want to go out and do my thing. That's what we were saying at 17, right? Or at 19 or 21. Yeah, I need to get away from here. I need to get out of this world and go out and do my thing, whatever it is. And everybody has a different thing, I guess, that they want to do, except some of us want to do just like somebody else did. But when we go out and do whatever it is that we call our thing, we must return often to our home base for renewal and restoration. Christians, everybody needs to, but Christians especially know that they need to come back and maybe refocus. Our focus gets off sometimes when we're out in the world. We come home and come back to our point of beginning or our home base to get our bearing, just to know where we are, to a place or a point in life that we start out from again. It's so easy to get off track out in the world. You ever got off track? Any of you? Got off track?
Well, I think one way back there.
If one will admit it, we probably all gotten off track. Two will admit it. Three, yeah, so if I wait long enough, probably get all of us. We have gotten off track. We stumble. We lose focus. We stray from the path of righteousness. Right? We stray. We didn't mean to. It wasn't planned. But things get in the way. And we're hindered in our Christian witness. So we need to come back and be restored. The rural church that I grew up in, and even the city church that I served in, have served in, small town, and even the national area, we would have a revival quite often. I guess most of the time every year. And we've had a few here to come together under more powerful preaching than you hear every Sunday and refocus or get charged up, if you will. Get motivated again. And call to repentance and faith. Even God's people responding to, as they hear, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek my face. I may have gotten one of them out of order. Then will I hear from heaven, God says. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It might be good for this nation that people want to come to, be a part of, but still has some problems. Still has some problems. We need some healing and coming to home base spiritually. Sometimes, and it's still a little difficult to talk about this each time I do, but that little rural setting in Star Route, Columbus, Mississippi, right down the road, right across the swamp from my house, when I've been in the neighborhood, I've gone by where my commitment to Jesus Christ, my response to God's call, where I first responded and touched home base there as a place to touch home base. But there's more ways to touch home base than to go back to the place that we started on our spiritual journey. And maybe that's why homecomings or hell, to allow people to come home and touch home base again. Well, I see our lesson from Matthew 22 being about home base for God's people and home base for Christians
especially the last part of it. We're coming to home base. In this situation, Jesus was dealing with Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, the Jewish faith, they're Jewish. They're descendants of Abraham. But they have little cells, or little clans, or little groups. And one of the little groups, was the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Another group said, oh yeah, we believe in the resurrection, so we have another group over here. It's kind of like Baptists and Presbyterians, you know, or maybe Church of Christ and Presbyterians. We have a little bit of different theology over here, a different belief over here than this group over here. So we don't have too much to do with them. Incidentally, I've been working on a community Thanksgiving service. I think we've got 8 Southern Baptist churches are the beginning of them, from Concord Road to just past 840. Only one little Presbyterian church and a few primitive Baptists, one primitive Baptist and about 3 United Methodists and everything. But we're going to try to get together and forget our differences on the 25th of November for a community Thanksgiving service. It's going to be right here at this place. And maybe somebody will bring us a uniting sermon. But Jesus was dealing with a little group here and a little group here. And one of them would come to fuss at him or try to trick him. And they'd pose questions to him and to get him to answer, hoping to trick him and get him wrong where they could. They didn't like what he was doing. And then another group, when they would leave, they would just give up and say, oh, they'd take off. He's got us. We've got to go and regroup. And so then the other group would come. So if you read 21, somewhere about halfway through 21, I think it is, Jesus, you see them coming to Jesus. Maybe about verse 23, one of them comes to question his authority. And then over in 22, after the Pharisees left, the Sadducees came. And then when they gave up and left, the Pharisees came back. So that's kind of what we're doing. So today we're talking about a Pharisee coming to Jesus to ask him which was the greatest commandment in the 5 books of the Bible. And I've taken a little liberty to kind of plan this or to have a conversation between Jesus and this Pharisee the way I thought it might have gone. The Pharisee. Think of me being the Pharisee. I've been called worse, I guess. Jesus, there are 613 laws that Moses gave us. And we believe that all 613 of these were given to Moses by God Himself. That God spoke them to Moses. Now Jesus, if you had to choose just one of these, if you had to choose one out of 613, which one would it be as being the most important? Or Jesus, if you were going to tell me to obey just one, that's more important than obey it than any other one, tell me what that would be. Jesus, well, I want to please God. And of the 613 laws that Moses left us, which one would please God the most? I want to know that one, Jesus. I want to do that. Which one would you have me to follow? Jesus, what I'm really asking, which law is most important? Or which law is the greatest? I'm no longer the Pharisee. If this question was posed to you, what would you say? If this question was posed to you, what would you say? Or how would you answer this question from the Pharisee? Based on your past Christian education, based on what you know about the Christian faith, what would your answer be? Okay, Jenkins Church. If Jenkins Church was asking this question or trying to find out what's the most important thing that we're doing. Sal mentioned somewhere along the way that it's a busy church. We're going here and repairing a house, putting siding on a house. We're raising funds for missionary work yesterday. We're raising funds next Saturday to pay on the building. Blah, blah, blah. We could go on and on and on. But are all these central to the church? Friends, these are peripheral items. They're not the central thought, purpose of the church. What is the number one commandment that we who make up Jenkins Church are called to follow? What's most important other than anything else? Well, some churches say, memorize a lot of scripture. That is great. And I've memorized a few verses, and I just get so proud of myself when I can memorize and quote the verses that I have memorized. Not very many, but a few. So some would say, well, the most important thing we can do as a church to baptize everybody in much water and make sure they get the whole person, physical body, under the water. Everything else is secondary to that. You probably run into that, had you? And somebody else will say, the most important thing we can do as a church is go to church every Sunday and fill our pew. And then somebody say, no, that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus, or God wants the men not to shave. And there are some churches that the men shave until they get married. As soon as they get married, they quit shaving. I guess they want the wife that chooses him to be able to see what he looks like. But then when he gets married, he just don't shave anymore. And so it's important to them. I don't know if they call this the most important, but it's important. It's what sticks out to us is we meet them on the highway and they're little buggies and we say, oh, those folks don't shave. They must think it's very important because all the men have a long beard. You see them in Vanderbilt Hospital a lot, or St. Thomas, or other places like that too. And then I thought of another one. Wear long sleeves. Don't show the nakedness of your arms. And there are some churches that the difference between the church that they are and the church that they pulled out of is we wear long sleeves. And then some people say, well, we got to wear a hat to church. Got to always wear a hat to church. And it just can kind of go on and on. And some say, well, you can't wear any jewelry. There's a place in the Bible that says don't wear any jewelry or any makeup. So these ladies that wear makeup, they wash it all off right before they get to church, you know. Kind of like wiping that smile off. When they show up, wipe the makeup off, wipe the smile on. And then the real good one, they got to have a beehive hairdo, ladies. A beehive hairdo. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's the most important thing you can do. And it can go on and on and on. But the question was, how would you answer this question? Well, Jesus answered it, and we read that, so you already knew. Jesus answered, the greatest commandment, the most important commandment is, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Or, love God with your whole being, with all that you are. Jesus said, that's the first and greatest commandment. That's the most important thing we can do as God's people. That's the number one thing that Jesus wants to do. Then Jesus says, but wait a minute. I kind of added that in. That's not really written in. But wait a minute. Don't leave yet. There's something else just as important as that. The second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Back in another gospel, somebody said, but who's my neighbor, Jesus? Who are you talking about? They wouldn't just say the man down the street because they probably didn't like them. Jesus went on to say it wasn't just the man that lives next door to you. It wasn't just the man that you like. It's even the man that may be your born enemy that you've been taught to be an enemy to. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. Don't stop there, Jesus said. Don't stop with just loving God. And there is another that goes with loving God. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say in verse 40, all of the law, all of the 613 laws. And then as they broke them down and explained them, they got to be more and more. All of the law and all of the prophets. See, between Moses and Jesus, how many prophets were there? A bunch of them. We got 12 books by the prophets, minor prophets. We got 4 books by major prophets. And then we got some prophets that didn't have books, like Elijah and Elisha and Nathan and I believe Samuel. So, a bunch of prophets in there that we have a record of. Is that everything that the prophets of God spoke for him, and everything that's included in the law, they are summed up in, are on these two commandments. Love God with all your being. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. They're all summed up or hang on these two commandments. Then the question comes, how do we love God with our whole being? How do we love God with our whole being? We talked about home base, though. I almost forgot that. Let's get back to home base. That thought. Loving God, that's home base. That's home base for the Christian. That's home base for the Jewish people. That's home base for the people who want to serve God. Love God with all of your heart. Another aspect of that, that you can't separate from it, is love your neighbor as yourself. That's home base. Love God. Love your neighbor. And love yourself. Jesus never taught us to despise ourselves. He said love. We need to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. These came. One from Deuteronomy. I think it's Deuteronomy 5. One from Leviticus. Deuteronomy 5 and Leviticus. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love God, and then Leviticus 19:18, to love your neighbor as yourself. Home base. Now, how do we love God? How do we live out this love for God? Well, by showing Him, doing things that show Him we love Him. How like you show your spouse, or show your parent, or show your child. We honor God by obeying His words. A child that won't obey the parent is not showing any love whatsoever for that parent. Worship Him. Express before Him how much value He is to you. And then trust Him. Read His word or hear His word and trust what He says. And then visit Him often. How do you visit God? Well, you visit God through reading the Bible. You visit God, we think, through coming to church and meeting with other Christians. We visit God by prayer. And then we show our love for someone and show our love for God by listening to Him speak. It may be through the written word. It may be through the spoken word. It may be through that still, small voice that slips up on us when we're least expecting it. It may be through a clap of thunder, or a hurricane, or a tornado. Now Elijah went out to listen. He finally heard God through the still, small voice. But he anticipated God speaking through the thunder also, or through the storm. Home base for the Christian. We might call it our spiritual home base. Love our neighbors. How do we do that? Well, maybe God pointed me there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning with verse 4. Love is an action. Love is an action. So I'll go back. Had more notes here than I had up here. Love is doing certain things or not doing certain things. Maybe it's inaction, not doing. Love is patient. So we love our neighbor by being patient with them. Love is kind. So we love our neighbor by being kind to them. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. So we love our neighbor by being nice to them, not being rude to them. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. He made me mad. It probably wasn't even need to really get mad. It keeps no record of wrong. I'll never forget they did me wrong. That's not love. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. That's home base for the Christian. But then Jesus added something real quick for the Christian. Jesus added something real quick for the Christian. A word about the Messiah. Now this Pharisee believed in the Messiah. Believed the Messiah was coming. Believed in David. So he says, "Who's son is the Messiah?" And they said, "Oh, David's son." And he says, "The Messiah is the very Son of God. Not merely a descendant of David, but the Messiah is the Son of God." That's who Jesus is. That's, for the Christian, our spiritual home base. Know who Jesus is. Know He's the Son of God. Trust Him as our Savior. And then love God and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Yes, it's good to visit our spiritual home base quite often. To remember that the most important thing we can do is know who Jesus is. Know He's the Son of God. Know He is very God, as one of the creeds put it, very God of very God. Begotten, not made. God in the flesh. And then love our neighbor and love God. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for calling us to home base. We thank You for a home base that we have traveled by. We thank You, Lord, that You have loved us. We have experienced Your love. And Lord, we thank You that You revealed it through Jesus. And we could hear about Him, put our trust in Him, and know salvation through Him. Now, Lord, we pray that we could often visit home base, spiritual home base, and be prepared to go into the world to share Jesus and the life that He teaches us to live with the world. And in His name we pray. Amen. Not only did Pete Mosley help prepare this sermon, Sam did. And Sam said, "I've just got to sing." After he saw the outline, "I've just got to sing. Lord, I'm coming home. This may be the time that You come initially to home base. Or it may be the time that You would come for a new visit, a revisit to Your spiritual home base." Thank you.